Welcome to KathleenWhitten.org. We believe that Kathleen's message will inspire you, encourage you, and give you a fresh perspective on life. Now, here's Kathleen.
Program us us with certain personalities in order to accomplish the destiny that He's put inside us to accomplish. But if you're like that, and I'm like that, and we ever get too busy and too weary and too spread out to even be nice, what about that person who's loading up our groceries in the car when we're in a hurry, and they talk really slow, and they want to talk to us about the Spurs? See, Jesus would stop and take the time to love them. But sometimes we're too overwhelmed and overburdened and weary that we can't even be nice. And you might be weary if you feel overwhelmed with responsibility, overburdened for that which you want to change, and depressed about what you can't change. That's probably most of us. Matthew 8:28 is the scripture that I've been saying that Jesus said that's so powerful. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I looked up that word rest in the Greek language, which is the language of the New Testament. And, of course, Matthew is written in the New Testament, so that's the language that we are translating to English from. Come to me, all ye who are weary and overburdened, overladen, overwhelmed, exhausted, and I will give you rest. And that word rest in the Greek means intermission. And I thought, you know, I know that life is not a dress rehearsal. I learned that from a lot of different things, but when I had leukemia and I was told that I had a short time to live, if, it occurs to you really quickly that life is a one-shot deal. Life is not a dress rehearsal. We don't get to gather a whole bunch of information and do it all over. It's right now. In Jesus, there's restoration and there's starting over, and I thank God for that. But it's still just one life. And yet, in this one life that seems to be going faster and faster and faster, we desperately need intermission. And I think it's by no means a coincidence that we're in a theater. And I just feel God's heart tonight say to you, you who are in this theater and you who might be listening by CD and you who might someday be listening by radio, let's just take some time right now for intermission. Take some time right now to come to Jesus and let Him give you rest. We all need intermission, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I was interested to find out that the word Sabbath comes from the word sabbaton. And Jesus, the Bible throughout the Old and the New Testament, says that we need to have the Sabbath rest. Well, that word Sabbath means to cease. In other words, the Sabbath rest means, hey, you better take intermission. God even created the world, and then what did He do? He took intermission. And so tonight, I want us to specifically look at what causes us exhaustion and to take intermission. How do we take intermission? Because here's the thing. I'm not really a fancy speaker or teacher, and I didn't go to seminary. And matter of fact, I've had people say, well, what kind of a teacher are you? Are you a... And then they use all these words that I have no idea what they're talking about. And I said, I don't really know what that means. All I know is that I want to know what the Bible says, and then I want to know how to apply it. Because if I can't apply it, it's just fancy words, and my life remains a mess. And so God admonishes us to take a Sabbath rest, and I have to then say, God, what exhausts us the most? And when I look in the Word of God, which is where the truth is, where the answers are, there's a scripture that shows me what exhausts us the most. And it's found in Proverbs 22:8. It says, he who sows iniquity reaps sorrow. Now, that doesn't sound like that's our answer. But I want to tell you what that word sorrow means in the Hebrew. It literally translates exhaustion. He who sows iniquity, he who continually sins, reaps exhaustion. And that's all of us. sin is missing the mark. You know, it's one of those kind of big words that's only three letters, and yet it's a big word because it's such a heavy word, like sin, sin, sin. And some of us just kind of, I even hear people trying to not say sin, you know. Like I hear different people on the radio or people on TV, and they're like, we don't say sin. Sin is out. We don't use the word sin. We use the word mistakes or falling short. Well, sin is falling short. Sin literally means to miss the mark. Like there's a big bullseye. Like they have an archery. I was a really great archer at camp. Of course, you're only there for about 5 weeks and everyone gets a medal, but I was one of them because I was in everyone. But you shoot that arrow and you try to hit the bullseye. Well, the bullseye is God's perfection in the Bible, and we're all going to miss it. And it's called sin. We're all going to make mistakes. We're born doing it. It's the whole reason that we need Jesus. Because the Bible says that he died for our sins. And we can't just come to him and say, well, you know, I need this heaven insurance thing, so I'm just going to ask for Jesus to come to my heart. Dear Jesus, come to my heart. Okay, I did that when I was 9 years old and I was at camp, and it was great. So much more than that. It's coming to God and saying, God, I am exhausted. I'm exhausted from my own sins. I am worn out. I am worn out with worrying. I'm worn out with trying to control my life. I'm worn out with the lies that I tell myself and other people. I'm worn out with the fact that rest doesn't give me rest. And I can't even receive the love from the people around me because deep down inside, I'm just lost. Jesus, please, please forgive me and change me. Please come into my heart. That's the first step to intermission. That's the first step. And you know what? I can't leave this place. I can't leave this place without making sure that you've at least had the opportunity to make that first step. I can't. Because see, that first step into intermission, into rest, is also the first step and the only step that we need from this life, which is temporary and not going to last forever, into eternal life where we will live forever and ever and ever with the God that created us. God says that we can't come to him but through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I'm the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I'm your life. No one can come to the Father but through me. The first step is salvation. Would you honor me, please? If you have any question or doubt in your heart that you've made that first step of intermission, that you have gone to God naked and open and said, I need forgiveness. I need the real Jesus, not the hyped up fake thing that I feel forced to do. But I'm really honest with you, God, right now. I'm not going to make it without you. If that's you, would you bow your heads? And I just, everyone bow your heads so that that person's not embarrassed. I'm not about calling people out. God knows. Would you bow your heads and pray this prayer with me tonight out loud? And if you're a Christian, please pray with us as well. Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Please forgive me, because I have missed the mark in so many areas. I've disappointed myself, and I've disappointed others. I'm worn out and weary, and I'm not going to make it without you. I know that if I ask you to come into my heart, I'm taking a step from this life into eternity because I've just become your child. That makes God my Father. That makes me a Christian. That makes me a believer. Help me, God, to live like it. Amen. Another step of intermission. Not halfway as important as salvation, because salvation is where it all begins. You know, salvation is where it all begins. That's when the Holy Spirit can really start talking to us. That's when we start getting it. That's when all those people that used to look so goofy to us, that were so excited about what God was doing in their hearts, we become one of those goofy people. Hopefully we don't act as weird as they do. That's when we can have the most devastating news come to us, and we can be in the most difficult circumstance, and we can say, hey, but you know what? I got connections. My Father created the universe. And Luke 1:37 says, nothing is impossible with Him. And see, I'm His kid, so I even can give Him my mess that I created. And He loves me so much. They don't work it out. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say in Romans 8:28 that all things, even the mess that I created, will work for good to those that love God and are called according to His purposes. And I am full of mistakes, but I love God. And I've asked Jesus to come into my heart. Therefore, I'm now called into according to the purpose of God, which is to glorify God and receive His Son. That's step one. Step two is repentance. That's another word that we don't like. Don't use the word repentance. Use turn away. Well, that's what repentance means. It means to turn away from the thing that's wrong and to turn towards God. To turn away. But I don't think it's wrong for us to use these words because the Bible calls us to repentance. John the Baptist, who's the one that made the way in the Word of God for Jesus Christ, used the word repent and be baptized. And so if God doesn't think repentance is an outdated word, then who am I to say, oh, we don't talk about that anymore. Don't say sin, don't say salvation, don't say repentance. Well, if you don't say that, how are people going to even know that they need to? Repent means to turn away. It means to say, you know, I've asked Jesus to come into my heart, but I see where I'm missing the mark, and I need to ask for forgiveness. I love Psalm 51. Because King David, who was called a man after God's own heart, by the way, but man, did he do some things that were way off the mark. He committed adultery with another man's wife. He lied about it, and then he had her husband killed, basically. That's pretty sinful. Probably not many of us in this room have had to admit that baggage. And yet when it came forth to him and it dawned on him the weight of the immensity of his sin, he says in Psalm 91, to you, O God, and you only have I sinned. And he asks God's forgiveness. He turns away from it. He says, clean me and I will be clean. And I love Psalm 51:10 because it's the cry of repentance that God wants us to have in our heart. And see, this cry of repentance brings us into intermission. It brings us into a place of rest. Because even King David, before this time of repentance, had no rest. Like something wasn't right. And if we've got all this junk that the world doesn't think is wrong, they don't call it sin, they don't think it's wrong. But see, there's this God knowing inside of us when things aren't right. And when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and He starts igniting what those things are, instead of saying, how can I fix it, how can I fix it, how can I fix it? Go to your dad. Go to your Heavenly Father and say, I can't fix it. But I ask you this, as I turn away from it, as King David prayed, let me pray, like Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. but restore to me the joy of your salvation. See, there's Christians that are believers, that they've asked Jesus into their heart, but there's no joy. There's no intermission. There's no time where they repent because they're spending all their time trying to fix it and sacrifice. I'll do this for God, and I'll do this for God, and I'll give up this for God, and I'll give this money to God, and I'll help with this ministry for God. And God's just saying, all I want you to do, really, what I really honor, it says in Psalm 51, is a broken spirit and a contrite heart, meaning I just honor the one that comes to me and says, God, I'm a mess, and I need you to change me, help me, renew me, strengthen me, make me a man or a woman that you can use. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And really, it's the joy that we have in Jesus, no matter what the circumstances in our lives are, that are going to attract people to Him and bring glory to God. It's not when we're running around and we're so weary and we're so exhausted that we can't even be nice to anybody, and we're so overwhelmed and we're trying to do things right and we're trying to sacrifice here and do this there and give here, that there's no joy. And people look around and look at us and they're like, why would I want that? And why would we want that? You may have this same experience in your life, but some of the most joyful times in my life are when nothing's going right, but I know that my Heavenly Father has an answer. I have something, let me make that plural. I have some things in my life like that right now. But I want to tell you, I've got joy. I've got joy because I know to whom I belong. And I know His arm is not too short. I know His power is not too small. And I know His word says in Ephesians 3:20 that He gives us exceedingly abundantly above all we could hope or ask or think. Mary and Lori, two of the people that work with this ministry, when we got together today, we prayed and we had so much to pray for. We just said, God, we don't even have time right now to name all the stuff. But we trust you that you will take these things, these concerns, these impossible situations, and you will do exceedingly abundantly above all we could hope or ask or think. That's the God that we serve. Another intermission is just trusting God. One of my favorite scriptures, I always say that. You know, a couple of people make so much fun of me. Edna Archer being one of them. She says, you say that about every scripture you ever share. And one of my favorite scriptures, but this really is one of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. In other words, God will forge a way where there is no way if you trust in Him. And if you don't just lean on your own intellect, and if you don't just lean on your own sensories, faith isn't necessarily what you can see or hear or touch. The closer we get to God, faith becomes that inner knowing. God's doing this. I trust Him. I trust Him. And I had to memorize those scriptures because I have a tendency to rely on my intellect. Not that I'm not smart, but I just have a tendency to rely on what I know, and with deductive reasoning and information, and here's the most wise way to do it, and very practical. And I have a lot of common sense, and that saved me from a lot of things, because I don't think that you should become a Christian and then become a complete moron. Sorry, I guess we should edit that out, you think, Lori? Let's keep it in. But also, God is saying, trust in Him with all of our hearts. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. He will make your path straight. And then the scriptures go on to say, don't be wise in your own eyes. You know what that is? That's pride. But fear the Lord. That means respect Him. Fear Him above anything else, above what people think. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. There's that word repentance again. Repent, turn away from it, and it will be health to your flesh and marrow to your bones. You know, it's amazing what God has you memorized. I memorized that about 5 years ago in the month of August. And about 3 weeks later is when I found out that I had leukemia, and the type that I had was bone marrow leukemia. And I stood on that scripture. What I mean by that is I said, Lord, you tell me that if I am not wise in my own eyes, but if I respect and fear you and turn away from evil, that it will be health to my flesh and marrow to my bones. And there's nothing that my bones needed more at that time than marrow, because marrow is what they had to wipe out with chemo. They had to completely wipe out my marrow. Because it was the guys at MD Anderson said it was between 95% to 99% dysplasic, meaning it was bad. So for a long time, my marrow was empty. And spiritually speaking, you may need a blood transfusion. You may need intermission tonight. You may need to say, God, you know what? I've been trying to be wise in my own eyes, and even in wanting to love you, I'm wearing myself out. I just come to you because I am weary. And I trust in you with all of my heart. And I know you'll make my path straight. And all these things that only you and I know. I love it that God's not a gossip. He's kept your secrets. And he knows more about you than you know about yourself. And he loves you anyway. Another way we can have intermission is to be joyful. And that sounds like such a kind of a trite thing in light of how much all of us are going through and how busy we all are. But one of the ways that I can be joyful, even in the midst of pain, and most of you know I've got a metal rod on my back. I can only bend my neck, and I'm kind of dealing with that a lot. And I've had a few bumps in the road in my 20 years on this earth. Okay. How come you laughed at that and not my earlier jokes? I need some of those little signs. It's too late. This is too late now. But audience crawlers, that'd be real Christianity, wouldn't it? But there's a scripture that says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And when I look around the world today, I would say reflective in most of the faces around us, and even my own face sometimes when I look in the mirror, is a broken spirit. And that does not have to be. A joyful heart is someone that just is able to say, God, thank you. You know, you and I both know I've prayed. These are the areas that are not going okay in my life right now. And please help me to trust you. But thank you for what you have given me. Thank you for the resources you've given me in my life to help other people. I remember so well, I wish I didn't remember so well, but when I was going through that situation with my eyes and a couple of the doctors went in to radiate my eyes, and my eyes were hurting 24 hours, month after month after month, and we kept thinking it was going to get better, and 1 month went into 2, into 3, into 4, into 5, into 6, and my eyes were just incredibly painful and hurting all day long, and I couldn't see. And it took so much longer than I would have ever desired for it to take for God to bring healing and restoration in that area. But see, we serve a big God, and He is our healer. But I remember one time just crying out to God on my knees, which I did every single day. And you can ask anyone in my family that is a true statement, because I was in so much pain. And I thought, you know, God, your word says a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And how can I possibly be joyful in this situation? And God was like, well, you can write, can't you? What can you give? What can you be thankful for? I said, yeah, I can write. And honestly, some of the things that I've been told have been the most personal and life-touching to people that I've written. I wrote during the time when that's all I could be thankful for besides my family? And that's all I could give. So just to be thankful, take intermission tonight. Take intermission in your car on the way home and take intermission from your problems and just be thankful. And let that joy come into your heart. That's intermission. And then I love this. In Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31, there's some scriptures that let us know that God Himself never gets weary. And that's good to know, because sometimes I think that God is like exhausted with me. Do you ever feel that way? Like, aren't you just so sick of me, God? And here I am again with the same thing and the same problem, or I made all these promises to you and here I am again, or, you know, I just know the times that I've been so filled up and full of the love of God, and I wasn't ugly to anyone, and I was just so kind, and my thoughts were pure. And then I had to go down to breakfast and fix my family breakfast, and it all went downhill from there. You know, it's interacting with people that's hard. And so I've gone to God and gone, God, you know, here I am again with this stuff in me. But He never gets weary of us. Isn't that great news? And He's never exhausted. He doesn't look around at the world problems and just go, you know what, I'm just exhausted. I'm not doing this anymore. A friend of mine's little boy, for those of you who know this song, do y'all know the song, He is exalted, the King is exalted on high? Do you know that song? Well, she was at church with her little boy, and he was singing it the way he thought it went. He is exhausted, the King is exalted on high. And she was just laughing. She said, did you really think that it went that way? And he said, well, sure. Because, see, his whole life he'd heard his parents say, oh, I'm just so exhausted, and all these adults, I'm so exhausted. So he just thought, well, God's exhausted, and we're going to go to church and sing about how exhausted he is. Because we're all exhausted. Well, God's not exhausted. Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In His understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord, they will soar as wings on eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Heavenly Father, thank you for intermission. Thank you for Sabbath rest. I ask now by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name that you, Holy Spirit, would come and sweep through this place, sweep through our hearts. Calm our hearts and bring us peace. Remind us who we belong to. Remind us of your power. Remind us of your blessings in our life. And remind us of how incredibly loved we are and how you love us so much that you're willing to take the burden from us, that you carried our pains and our sorrows. Father, I pray that we would fix our eyes upon the cross. As Hebrews 12, 2 and 3 says, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus. Consider Him so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. Renew us and restore us, God. Give us back the joy of our salvation so that we can go out and love others. Thank you.
We hope that you've enjoyed Kathleen's message. To order a copy of this and other messages, please call us in San Antonio, Texas at 210-822-5500 or toll free outside the San Antonio area, 877-397-7773. That's 1-877-397-7773. Visit our website, KathleenWhitten.org, KathleenWhitten.org. Thank you.